It is important on this first day that we begin with those things that are most important to our life, to the gospel, to the church. So let us put first things first. When we think of beginnings, we often think of children, particularly this time of year, who are starting in their new places in school. We think of the excitement and the apprehension, which often creates a sleepless night. We think of the expectation and the anxiety that goes hand in hand. The questions: who will be in class? What is the teacher like? How much homework will we have? How tough will the test be? I stand before you with some beginning day hopes and anxieties. My first Sunday, and I did not sleep last night. But I've been told by many preachers that that's a sign that things good are going to happen the next day. First things first. In the Gospel of John, the first chapter, there is a clear first word about God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's a clear word from God, and the gospel proceeds to give that clear word about who Jesus, the Word, the Son of God, is. About a week and a half ago, when I arrived here on my first day, I was receiving a clear word. As I drove up to my parking place over here on the side of the building, there over my parking spot was the sign, "Parking for Redskins fans only." I could tell the gauntlet had been put on the ground. As I walked into my office, another sign appeared as I walked in through the double doors: "Do not enter, Redskins players only." And as I entered, there were multiple words to be seen. Goalposts with a Redskins football, two Joe Gibb books, the Redskins 2004 yearbook, notes from the Redskins in terms of notepads, the reminder to get tickets for the Redskins game, a Redskins pin, a Redskins poster that was signed by all the staff, and I begin to understand why I was getting all of these messages. But the most important message and word I got, the clearest word, was from the incarnate Redskin himself. The letter goes like this, under the Redskin letterhead: "Dear Pastor Eisnogel, I want to extend you and your family a warm welcome to your new home in Washington, D.C. I am delighted to hear that you have accepted the call to pastor the National Presbyterian Church. May the Lord bless and inspire your ministry in this historic church in our nation's capital." Signed, Joe Gibbs. However, there was a P.S. at the bottom: "I heard through the grapevine that you are a Cowboys fan. It is good to know that in the Lord there was always forgiveness and hope for the lost." I have to say, I think a number of staff put Joe Gibbs up to that, but I think he probably shared some of their sentiments. My response to this word that has been clearly spoken to me is, I'm not ready to convert, but I might be willing to consider dual citizenship. The prologue in the first chapter of John is focused upon this wonderful Greek word, logos. The Greek word means the principle, the reason, the idea, the most important value system that can exist. It's a wonderful Greek philosophical word that centers meaning and purpose in how the Greeks thought. But what John does with that word is he adopts it and he adapts it. As is often the case of Christians throughout history, taking a wonderful word of the culture and putting Christian meaning to it. For John's perspective, it is not just an idea or a concept. The Logos is personal. The Logos is presence. The Logos is about making a speech that is clearly heard to other people. And who is the Logos? The Logos is the very God Himself who enters into the world in the incarnation and speaks to us as human beings. The flow of that first section of the first chapter is that Logos is personal. Logos is presence. Logos is God. The Logos shines in dark places. There is darkness in the world. But lastly and most importantly, the Logos creates children of God. The purpose of Logos is to create children for God. So this presence, this meaning, this purpose, this will, this power, this intelligence, this creativity is the real being of God personally communicating to the world. Messages are created by persons, and God is sending a clear message to us. A few years back, there was a movie that was titled Contact. In that movie, it's the story of a little girl who loses her mother at a young age, and then in her close friendship with her father dies of a heart attack, and she and her father have shared the searching of the stars through a telescope. She continues to search out in the stars to see if there's some signal or word about her parents in outer space. She grows up to be an astrophysicist and continues to listen for message from the outer space and from planets in faraway places. She has this deep hunger for meaning, a deep sense of wanting to be reconnected to her parents and wondering, where are they? While science searches for meaning, the deepest thirst of the soul is only met by the presence of a personal God that we know as Logos, the one who speaks to us in friendly terms and invites us to be sons and daughters. In the Reformed tradition, we are people of the Word. We are people of reading the Word of God, the Scriptures, the ancient texts that have been given to us. We are people of the spoken Word in the pulpit and in teaching. We are people of the visual Word in terms of stained glass windows and the sacraments of the Lord's Supper and baptism. We are people who hear the Word, and we are people of the sung Word. We are people of a biblical Word, but most of all, we are people of an incarnate Word. We see the Word made flesh in Jesus Christ. That is the unique thing about being Christian, is that God speaks in the presence of a person, a human being, who becomes, as God, one of us. We have a personal Word. We have a Word from God. We have a Word of love and forgiveness, a Word that penetrates the darkness of this world. Words can create or words can destroy. Words can encourage or words can deplete. Words can rouse, but words can also pacify. Words can affirm or attack, blame or absolve. Abandon or love. Words count. They count for healing or for hurt. The old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is not right. The wrong word can be devastating. The wrong word can redeem humanity. And in the Gospel of John, we have the right word at the beginning, a word that God speaks to us of inviting us into personal relationship. Words can create images and value systems for our future. Words from parents can build up or hold back. In 1983, I was picking up my four-year-old daughter from the nursery school at a local Methodist church. We'd gotten onto the schoolyard with all of the children around, and another father had arrived at the same time that I had, and he was looking for his son as I was looking for my daughter. His son saw him from a distance across the play yard and started running up to him, and as the son ran up to the father, he started counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, got to 15, and the son arrived in his arms and he gave him a great big hug. But the first words out of his mouth were, "Tomorrow maybe you can do it in 14. Words matter. God wanted to be clear in speaking the first word to us. That we got a clear message. That this word can break through the darkness of all other words and speak to us of a God who embraces us as a loving Father. God wants to us to be children, daughters and sons in the pattern of Jesus Christ. Words count. But that word breaks into darkness. According to John, darkness exists. John does not try to explain where darkness comes from. He assumes that darkness exists. Now, for the Greek, this would have been a difficult issue because for the Greek, they understood darkness came from another kind of God that created the earth. All of the things that we see were created by a lesser God. And this lesser God created an evil kind of environment, an earthy kind of environment where darkness pervades. The real God of the universe created the heavens, and the heavens in terms of spirit. And that is the God we wanted to rise above from a Greek standpoint. But John takes that view of God, that God somehow created evil and light, and said, no, evil exists. And then proceeds to show us how evil comes to place. God creates the heavens and the earth. God creates a good humanity. God creates us with the freedom to be able to choose. And evil exists and darkness exists because we choose the wrong word. We choose a word of destruction or hurt rather than the word of healing and help. It is that freedom in humanity that God creates from the beginning, which is a good freedom, but it gives us the possibility for choosing to go against the word that we hear from God. As Earl Palmer says in his commentary on John chapter 1, in the beginning, God creates freedom. And that freedom, darkness comes about because human beings choose darkness rather than light. Evil's not created by God. Evil exists because the creation that God made, which has the freedom to choose, chooses darkness rather than light. We choose to reject God. We choose to ignore the Son. We choose not to listen to the message. We choose to reject the light and the life. We choose to walk away. And the scriptures call that sin. And the accumulation of sin from many, many perspectives and persons who participate in it create the cluster and the accumulation called evil and darkness. This is why we have genocide in Sudan. People choose to walk into the darkness. This is why we remember 9/11 and those horrendous moments of those airplanes hitting buildings that we value and the people that we love. Because people have chosen to go into darkness rather than light. A child was aware of what had happened to the first tower in New York City, and she was standing there with her father, seeing the second plane come over and soon to hit the second building. She says to her father, "Daddy, they're doing it on purpose. They're choosing to create destruction rather than life." We all, according to our own Reformed theology, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We also choose at moments in our daily lives the wrong direction. We also can choose in our cumulative sin to create places and systems that are not good. They're a part of the destructive powers that can happen to tear things down in this world. And what the first chapter of John tells us is that the light of God, the Logos, comes into the darkness, comes into our darkness and meets us where we are at and speaks a word of life and light to us so that we have the freedom to choose. Are we going to continue to live in sin and evil and darkness? Or will we live in the light? Will we live in a life of relationship with a living God? First day of school, September 1st in Beslan, Russia. 1,200 people are taking hostage. Many children. Those children had their first day. The first graders were in their very first day of school. 32 guerrillas come in, having chosen a dark path to create a place of damage and hurt. With 1,200 hostages, 330 dead, 730 wounded, darkness pervaded. And darkness is the aftermath. The first chapter of John is clear that there's only one solution to darkness. There's only one way out of a world that's pervasive in darkness. And that the Logos has come to speak a word of love and goodness to a world that's lost. And that is to create children of God. Logos wants to create followers that are like the Son, Jesus, sons and daughters of the living God. Not because we have the right bloodlines, not because we have the right relatives, not because somebody's made a decision to include us in a club or in a special place of esteem, not because someone has taken interest in us, but because God has demonstrated once for all His love for us in Jesus Christ. It is only God's act that can relieve the world from darkness and make us sons and daughters of God. Stephen Covey says in his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, the first habit is to begin with the end in mind. And so the Logos does. In the beginning, the Logos created the heavens and the earth. And what was the purpose? So that the world might create, in response to the love of the Logos, the children of God. The question for us today is, are we listening to that word? Are we paying attention to the God who clearly speaks to us in Jesus Christ? Do we understand that God is reaching out to us with His Son so that we too might be sons and daughters? If we do not hear, we continue to walk in darkness. If we do hear, we are given the power to be considered the children of God, to be the children of God. We cannot become the children of God unless we hear God's voice and know it. When my daughter Tanya was born, my second born, she came out with a lot of intensity, with a lot of passion, with strong volume and crying. She's been assertive ever since. The doctors and the nurses didn't know what to do to quiet her down because nothing seemed to work. And finally they turned to me and they said, "Dad, you want to do something?" And I did the only thing that was instinctually part of me being a father. I took her into my arms and began to sing to her the simple tune, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And she quieted right down. To this day, if I ignore her, things can get pretty anxious. If I pay attention and speak to her, things quiet down. We become focused. She relaxes. This is the way it is with God, who's communicating to us very carefully through the Son, Jesus. God is speaking a word of love to us so that we can hear that we are children of God, that we can be brought into the presence of God because of the Son, Jesus Christ. The only question today is whether we are listening. So in the midst of the intensity of the fall, when things are so busy, so hectic, when we are running back and forth between events and we are trying to make it all work, the question for us is quite simply, are we listening to the Logos who wants to speak to us and tell us that we are children of God? If we listen, we can receive the power to put that into action. If we don't listen, we simply continue to walk in darkness. May the love and mercy of Jesus Christ, the great eternal Logos, help you to listen today and become a child of God. Amen.